This is the January 24th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition 281 for property ID 14496-1048, and the property address is 2012 Northeast 95th Street. The property is owned by Geraldine Brasket. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present from the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided by the appellant for the board to review, and the assessor's evidence included three sales and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. Since no one is present, I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
John? Okay. Close
no
the hearing.
Questions.
This is the January 24th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition 282 for property ID 14496-1050. The property address is 2016 Northeast 95th Street, and the property is owned by Geraldine Brasket. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present from the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided by the appellant for board review, and the assessor's evidence included three sales and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. Since no one is present for either party, I will pass it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
Right. This is the January 24th, 2020 hearings of the 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition 283 for property ID 22741700, and the property address is 7811 Northeast 252nd Street. The property is owned by Geraldine Brasket. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided for the appellant by the appellant for the board review, and the assessor's evidence included three sales and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. Since no one is present for the assessor's office or the appellant, I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the January 24th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 291 for property ID 8514600. The property address is 1541 Northwest Drake Street, and the property is owned by Lawn Combs. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Lawn here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know or remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. Today's explanation is pretty short and sweet to the point. There's two issues. One is they continually report the square footage of my property wrong. I've sent them the survey that's been recorded, and they just, I think they're just too busy to deal with it. So that it's a little off on the square footage. And then when it comes to the valuation of the property, they're a little off there too. There's a property that's similar size in my neighborhood. I gave you the property ID number and the site address. It's valued at $213,615, and so I think at the very least they should be similar to my property. And so I am appealing that they will reduce the value to 213 $6,700.
Okay. I don't have any questions.
It's pretty short and sweet and to the point.
I don't see a county stamp on this. I see you put, somebody's put book 68, page 170-101 on the bottom of it, but there's no stamp from the county on there.
Yeah, but if you, I reached out to them and it's the recorded survey. And so I'm not sure why it has been recorded. I might have sent you the one that doesn't have the recording stamp on it, but it has been recorded.
So why did, didn't he say that he found no recording of it?
No, I thought it, she confirmed that they had found the recording of it.
Well, if I may interject in there, according to the assessor's explanation, he says it is a legally recorded 7,600ths of an acre. They value 5,200ths of an acre, and 2,400ths of an acre is in a conservation easement or something other, which they put no value on. So that added together makes the 76. So they might be talking about the same thing, or they might not.
Yeah, we are talking about the same thing. It's just their square footage based on the recorded survey is off. Even though they say they're not valuing the 10,288 square feet, the remaining is 22,716, which is a little off what comes up on the, when you pull up the property ID on the county website.
Do you still technically own that property?
The property that the house is on, or the conservation?
Conservation.
So it's a interesting thing. I'm considered owning it. I own it, but I can't do anything with it. They won't allow me to plan on it, change it, build on it, or anything. It's got
okay. If I understand what they've said, they've recorded that as a conservation easement and is not valued. So they only value your property as 0.52 acres. And I'm a little confused of why you're, what you're saying about it then.
So
you still own 7.726 acres of property, even though they only value 0.52 acres.
Yes, correct. And the calculation for the square footage of that 0.52 acres is different than the recorded square footage.
102 square feet.
Yeah. And then a property in this neighborhood that has the same, similar square footage is valued lower than mine, and so I'm asking for that same valuation.
And which property is that?
It's the property ID 8672-8000.
He listed it in his memo.
Yeah. 10th Avenue in Camas. So I calculated that valuation per square foot, did the same calculation at my property per square foot, which comes up a little higher because I have a little more square feet, and I came at $213,700.
And I think that's assessed value, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have any other questions.
All right.
Or comments?
Thank you for your time. Sorry you guys are running behind today. Must be a busy day.
Thank you. All right. Well,
thank you.
Close the hearing.
This is the January 24th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 214 for property ID 35771418. And the property address is 520 Southeast Columbia River Drive, 116. And the property is owned by David and Karen Newston. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have David here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given in this hearing be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Sure. I do just have one question, and probably Allison can answer this real quick. Because this, we now went into this thing where part of it was done online, and at least for me, once you started it, it got to a certain point that I could never get back in and never access the information again. What dollar amount did I end up putting in as to my estimated value?
I can take a look at that.
$395,000 on your...
Say again now?
$395,000 on your petition.
Okay, that's fine. The reason I asked that is you'll see that there are some... there's a file that I have, which is last year's order.pdf. And, of course, this is before the state because I appealed it. They tell me now I'm 2 years out, but I did want to highlight information that's on page 2 of it, which remains absolutely correct. Talks about that my ranch style condominium residence is 1,319 square feet. I have one inside parking space. At the time of this appeal, I do not own rights to an exterior garage like many people do that are really beginning to affect the prices of sales. And they're not assessed. The assessor does not keep track of them. Because I have figured that out in all of this mess trying to figure stuff out. So what you are calling a basement garage is actually a parking spot in an underground garage. And literally everybody who lives in the mid-rise building, sometimes referred to as the towers, they all by definition have at least one parking spot. I'm not sure if when we say the property is of good quality construction, this is being used in terms of an appraisal kind of way. The testimony of most people who live in this building based upon their experiences is many things in this building were actually built of poor quality. Just an opinion. Can't prove it one way or the other because I have no testimony of others. Now, so my position in a nutshell is actually very well addressed in the second paragraph of the second page. I have stated the complex works this way. Depending upon which way you're facing, whether you're facing the water in Oregon or whether you're facing north, the higher you go in floor level, and with the two variables of which way are you facing, the more expensive the same square footage gets. And we'll just skip down to the pictures. So 115 is not my unit. 115 would be a unit directly next to me that is facing the same way from our kitchen window area. And as you scoop to the left, they have the beginning of a peekaboo view in between those other two shorefront condos of the Columbia River. And a little bit better view Super Anik Dam. They have a green belt. A mine directly next door to them. I'm looking at the same thing, except I'm looking at a train when the train is coming by. As I swoop to the right, I have the train and the train noise. And in my state appeal, we actually have stuff submitted. Here's how many feet it is from the train, but that's irrelevant from our what we're going to discuss here today. As I swoop around to the other side, I not only have train noise, but we have Highway 14 noise. I have a flight of exterior stairs that is the place all people with animals are supposed to go in and out to walk their dogs. And now if we go up above me, two floors. So this is a four-story or four levels building. So that's how it looks from 316, looking at the Columbia River at night. Of course, it's very beautiful. And if you go up another floor, of course, the view is way better. So next, let's switch to the file, the other file, because I only submitted two files. So part of what I have submitted here is some of the information that I did at State Appeal. First thing I want to explain is because the prior owner, who happened to have been a board member during 2019, completely remodeled the unit. By completely remodeled the unit, I mean pulled out all the flooring, built a shoddy, illegal, really nice-looking walk-in shower with the nice glass things. Why this was a rental, my tenant complained all the time, it didn't drain right. I became aware of this once I did investigation. You see on page two, a letter starting a back and forth between me and the board of directors and the management company complaining about the prior owner, whose name is Alan Martinez. They eventually end up coming to an agreement with me regarding what happened. I'm not supposed to talk about that. But the bottom line is, this development for years, including people on the board of directors, have done extensive remodeling to these units without ever pulling permits. And since I have personally been prosecuted by the city of Vancouver for supposedly not pulling permits on properties that I have purchased by prior owners, I now have a new thing that I do whenever I buy a piece of property. I was just looking, hey, did someone pull permits? I document it. And you'll see in that interaction that I go back and forth with them about when the tenant was moving in or some kind of issue regarding a door being shut. Okay, so that's the kind of starting premise of a lot of stuff. So, my wife and I go traveling for a couple of years in the RV, and I'm trying to convince a lot of Clark County because I can't stand it here anymore. She doesn't want to leave. What are we doing? Tenant that was in this property decides to move back to San Diego, and for now we compromise and we move back in here. So we have pulled permits and made changes. Why have we pulled permits and made changes? Within 2 months of moving into this unit, everybody received notification from the Homeowners Association that everybody either had to repipe the entire property or they were going to repipe the entire property and give you a special assessment for it. Since I've personally done PEX work before, to me that was no big deal. So you'll see that couple times that permits have been pulled. I find it interesting that the prior owner pulled the permit and he says it was for $5,000 when we put accurate numbers of what we did. You see that InTech Corporation prior to my ownership in 2019. So this is what now my property looks like, at least so just by Christmas. That's vinyl flooring you're looking at. We have vinyl flooring pretty much, yeah, everywhere. Prior owner had put down, actually hardwood, and it was done without the HOA's permission, done without, there's rules in the bylaws that you have to have certain kind of underlayment for sound things, and that's what the kitchen looks like. It's amazing what poles and paint can do to make things look better. Unfortunately, that is not the original fiberglass tub shower we had to replace it because you couldn't get behind it to fix the pets. It's impossible without putting in a new one. In the master bathroom, that's what it would look like today, except while we have had stuff in where a shower was, we've not yet finished it. We had the plumbing inspected. It's live. That's just stuff on our own issues. The city's well aware of it. Of my wife and I can't decide. If you look at this picture, which is a picture of green board and framing from what used to be one of the glamorous tubs, we can't decide what to do next, but we'll figure it out in the next year. Okay, so as I have submitted more than once, information on page 13 about automatic valuation models. On page 14, last paragraph, the problem with home value estimates. Last two paragraphs, there's an example in Ocean City, Maryland. Oceanfront condos versus the ones that were not oceanfront condos. In our case, here I am. I'm living in what I believe as still a licensed designated real estate broker to be one of the worst locations in this building. I bought it on purpose as the worst location in the building. It's the closest to the railroad tracks. It's the closest to the noise. It doesn't have any views. Because to me, it was just simply, when I acquired it, bedrooms and baths versus price. While it isn't reflected in the year in question sales, earlier this year, we now have $1 million disparity between actual sales of condos here, between the ones that are right on the waterfront, that their decks are looking at the Columbia River. There are now consistent sales of units on the fourth floor that are looking at the Columbia River of over 700,000. However, that's not what I got. What I got are the ones facing Highway 14 with no views. Okay, so beginning on page, what you would call page 15, that has the highlight on it of A1-3, this is actually stuff I sent to the state. Some of the information I've sent to the state for the state appeal. Excuse me, I'm going to get the water. So, because in reality, there's actually so few sales that are like what I have, I am going back 3 years trying to see what the trend is. Okay, so the first thing I start off with, asking computer, how many properties are MLS computer sell anywhere? Vancouver, Washington in 2021. And that answer is 7,599. Of those, how many were condos? Anywhere. 5,037 condos, period. What is the average sales price and median price? Well, it's right there at the near bottom of page A13, 290, 342, 510. The next one actually is the same information from the year before, from 2020. And I won't spend a whole lot on it because it's actually 2023, but all the information is there explained that you can see the same issue that as a percentage of things, where I live is a super small percentage of the real estate pie. So, as an example, in 2020, there were only 9 MLS sales, period. The next two things that looks kind of weird is actually a little shortcut thing that's been developed to try to figure out which way faces west, which way faces south, which way faces north, which way are they facing. I put little hieroglyphics explanations because it's not very something created by the condo association. But I think I've just in pictures proven to you I don't have a view property. So same thing for the years 2020 versus 2021. You get by the time you get to page A17, I compare what are the south facing sales versus that are like mine in some way that anybody would reasonably think, or what are the north facing sales. Okay, so with all that as a backdrop, we'll just cut to the chase and go to 2022 will start. Won't go quite that far yet. You'll note that on your page 23, which at the bottom says A1-11. I'm actually showing the state appeal, which hasn't happened yet. How close are the north-facing units to the railroad noise? Mine is 156 feet. Others are as far away as 211. Ah, well, 50 feet. How much of a difference does that make? Well, when you're standing there and the railroad's going by, it makes a big difference, and it's reflected in sales. Okay. I'm going to go up to the sale, which will say on the bottom right, A1-116, which that's page 10 in the PDF. So here we finally have a sale in 2023. Look at the top right. This was sells for $350,000 for 1,360 square feet. As you go to the bottom, and this is RMLS, hold on. That's 226-85530. I don't think I put pictures. I've personally been in it. It was just a stock standard unit. Still had carpet in it throughout. Still had the original cabinets. Price track. They put the property on the market on 1/14/2023. They go pending on 3/20/2023. They list for 365. And when it's all said and done, they sell for 350. Though this unit is not a one-story. This unit is made in such a way, and I'm going to refer to the tax record for a second, 1,087 square feet of this condo is one story. These were made so they have a set of spiral stairs that are super skinny. That's hard for me to go up as a fat dude. And it has a 273 square foot loft, not really a bedroom because it's open, with a shower and a toilet. And so technically it's under RMLS standards, a full bath. All right, the next page we come to, we're going to start dealing with some things that actually have some merit to the current tax year. Okay, the reason I wanted to show you the first thing is so we could understand where we're coming from on the next thing. Per RMLS, there were 401 condo sales anywhere in Clark County. You can see where those words are saying that. Right above it is my actual search criteria in the RMLS computer. Every area, every city, not Portland, obviously, just those little codes or things in Clark County, and between 1/1/2022 and 12/31/2022. Next, the average sales price for all condos anywhere was $369,772, and the median price is still $309,000. That means 50% of all condos sold for $309,000 or less, 50% sold for $309,000 or more. Next page. It'll have in the middle of the page in big words, 2022 Oregon facing average price $461,875. What are those units? Those are 114, and the price there is $415. That literally, if I walk out my front door, I turn to the left, that people look away from me except it's facing Oregon. 313, which is one of the things, the pictures I showed you, two floors up from me. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's not that one. It's another one that is on the third floor. 311, another one on the third floor facing Oregon. 462.5, you can see the square footage there. Those are both 1,055 square feet. And the one that I showed you, 1,319 square foot one, which is our model, just two floors up with the view. 520. Now technically, part of their condo faces north and part of their condo faces southwest because it's an end unit. So average sales price, $461,875. Versus 2022, Highway 14 facing non-fourth floor. As I already showed you, a fourth floor one, where the one that was, that technically was a sale in 2023, and I can't remember the new rules, how many months you can go and consider it, because it's ambiguous to me when I read it. So, only one sale. Number 124. No for sale by owner sales. Can't find any more, period. And that is unit 124. 1,047 square feet. So, what's the difference between that and what I own? A little room I'm inside right now talking to you guys. A little room, I'm estimating. That's probably 9 feet, and that's about 13, 14 feet, and of course, a hallway. That's the only difference between second floor, one story ones and, I'm sorry, two bedroom one story units, because they have two baths, and three bedroom one story units. So, the next one that comes up, which is a picture of that one we just talked about, unit 124, lists on 7/3/2022. First thing I want to point out to you, which of course this is MLS number 22361945. One quarter of the way down, if you're looking at this page, it will say private. Seller paid $10,000 of buyer's closing costs. Well, that's another way of saying it was a 345 sale. And the next thing, the next one, it's the same one again. I was just trying to cover up information there that I'm not supposed to give out to anyone but a licensed broker. Shows more of the information, but down at the bottom, it will say comparable information, shows you the chain. They start at 375. They drop to 355. And they end up going pending on 11/12/2022. It closes on 12/13/2022. And at 435,500. But with 10 grand. Here comes some pictures. Notice that the inside pictures of the things that are actually their unit and not the clubhouse shows. That's actually really hardwood. I know, I went in and my wife tried to get me to buy it. And I said, no, numbers don't work as a rental. Our fees here now are above 700. Can't pay the taxes and can't pay the association fees and rent it and make a reasonable rate of return. That shows the tile floor and the cabinets. And of course, this is not facing Oregon. This is one that faces Highway 14. Okay, so to me, this last thing that I've included, remember how I started off talking about the sale that was on the fourth floor, which is a property similar in square footage to mine, but in a fair and open market, they can only sell it for $350,000. Well, here's Mr. Assessor's assessment of it. At least at the time I printed it out, 6/8/2023, for the assessment year 2023 and the tax year 2024. Previous year was 466,212. New value is 480,224. Well, in their case, they just bought the thing. The assessor is now $130,000 over the real market. There is something seriously wrong in the system that is being used. It ain't like the old days where you actually had an appraiser. Who knew that the sales facing Highway 14 and the railroad tracks have always sold for less? And now the disparity between what people are paying for the units that have separate private garages that are not even being taxed and facing the water on the fourth floor is gone. Well, is it crazy? Well, people are buying them, but that's not what I own. So, I believe that a reasonable person would conclude that my property is overassessed. Was last year when you ruled against me. It is this year again. And I'll appeal every single year you don't look at the reality of this situation. The more that they rely upon this computer system with low-level people who know nothing about real estate, the worse it's gotten. And but I'm good with the 390 and something, because that's still 40-something thousand more than the last sale of similar square footage. And that ends my evaluation.
I don't have any further questions. It's very complete.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah, I have no questions.
All righty. Hope everything's going well for you all.
I don't have any other questions on it either.
Guys, storm. All righty. Should I just hit exit?
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
You're here for less than 30 days.
Okay, I understand.
Bye. Closing.
This is the January 24th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for each of the four properties. The hearings before us involve petitions 36 through 39 for property IDs 18057300, 18057200, 18052000, 18050800. And the property address is 3710 Northwest 179th Street. And the property is owned by Denise and Thomas Pagna and Hartzell. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bonner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Thomas and Denise for the appellant. If you do want to speak, please raise your right hand to be sworn in now.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in this hearing be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I'm sorry, we didn't hear you. You're turning it over to...
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Your turn. It's your turn.
Sorry, that's the digital stuff. I think I'd just like to start by saying thanks for making time for us. We know everyone enters into valuing these things in good faith so we can pay the right taxes that support all the infrastructure that we know around us is going up, and we support building that. But if we shift into what prompted us to challenge the assessments, I think we were just very surprised by the valuation, predominantly because we paid a value for the property 6 months before the assessment that was substantially lower than the assessment came through. And it was a fairly competitive purchasing process, so it caught us off guard. So that prompted us then to go through the challenge process, and we went through the history of sold properties that you guys provided us, and we were able to find some valuations that seemed to match the various parcels we purchased, and that indicated a lower value than maybe the assessor used. So we provided those for your review through the forms that we're supposed to fill out. And then the second thing we hoped you guys would consider is that when we purchased the property, we did a feasibility study to see if there was space for additional homes on the property in alignment with how the property was zoned. And, we did this before the purchase and learned it was very unlikely that we would be able to add more homes, and that was okay with us. But then when we looked at the parcels that were used to value the land, which we can pull up the numbers in a second, we noticed that most of those were parcels that looked like could support a home. And it's our belief that the value of a land that could support a home is very different than the value of land that cannot. And so we would hope that you guys would take that into consideration too. And we thought those were the two or three most important things for considering a valuation change. And that's why we asked to meet with you guys today.
So you paid $1,085,000 for all four parcels?
Yes, ma'am, we did.
Okay, and then they have now they have your land alone valued at. I added up all four parcels. I could have left off the one with the house. You have their total land valued at $1,060,000. Plus,
I believe that's right.
Then you have to add the value of the home on the one parcel.
That's right.
There's another $400,000.
I believe the new value would be at $1,461.
Right, But instead, they just said they're going to do that house and the one parcel at
$714,000. The assessor has reduced the value to $1,181,000 on the second page of their decision. On that small paragraph at the beginning of that page. Page 3 of 5 of their proposal. So they're down to less than $100,000 difference than what you paid for the property.
Okay.
Did you get that information?
We did not get that information. We were under the assumption the combined value of the properties was still being valued at over $1.4 million.
Yeah, they're saying that,
they didn't break it down, did they? How much they would put on each?
Yeah, they did. On the previous page, it is.
Okay, yeah, I see it now. Okay.
It says that the appellant provided a third-party feasibility study viewable in the petition evidence, which addresses the likely development potential of the vacant parcels. And after they went through that information, they indicated that reducing the parcels indicated market value by 70%. I don't know which parcels they're talking about. At any rate, they've got 108,050,800 at 13,000, 108,052,000 at 334,898. And parcel 1805,72,000 at 119,753 and 1805,73,000 at 714,005. And that total, I didn't total it, but he says that total together is a 1,181,656. Versus their previous proposal that was at 1,461,081 for all of the parcels.
Okay. So it looks like they adjusted parcel 108,572,000 and then left the other three the same. That look about right?
Yeah.
I didn't look back at the previous numbers.
One they dropped by a couple hundred thousand.
Yes, yeah. One parcel's value changed according to my data, and the other three stayed the same. I did ask the assessor for more information, but this is what they provided us with.
And we don't have a copy of the feasibility study. I don't know where that is, because he mentions that they got a copy of it. But that's not in our information. I guess it's irrelevant at this point.
Oh, is that not something you guys can review? I think I can share my screen if you wanted to see it.
I can.
I assume they were just talking about the feasibility of developing that undeveloped property. Is that correct?
I believe so. Yeah, that was part of what I was saying earlier, is that, you know, the land value is different because we can't develop it.
It's also should be considered that this is going, the Packard Creek is running through, so it's protected land.
Yeah, you're right, Denise. That's what the feasibility study is showing us.
Yeah. Now, how did you come up with the numbers that you came up with?
So we did our best to use the comparables that was available on the public website that the appeals process directs you to, and then did our best to find something that was close to the same size as the house and try to find parcels of land that didn't have a home on it and didn't appear to have the ability to put a home on it. So, and then, yeah, it was pretty hard for sure. And then I forget the name of the website, but I could go find it, that tries to tell you, hey, here's what a bathroom is worth, here's what a bedroom is worth. And so we tried to use that same valuation throughout all the properties and then use the tool to plus and minus the different values to come to the conclusion that we came to. Is that what you were looking for, is that kind of methodology, or were you wanting something more?
Yes. No, that's fine. I assume your total adds up to the 1,085,000.
It does. Yes, it does. I mean, I think, Daniel, we were just attempting to support the price we purchased for the home, because that seemed like also a good comparable, because it was purchased 6 months before the assessment. And like I said before, it was a fairly competitive bid. There were three other folks that we were competing with to purchase the home. So we didn't feel like we got a discount in any way, shape, or form. In fact, we feel like we might have paid a little extra relative to the market.
This is a 1972-year-old home that has not been remodeled nor updated, had no appliances, needs piping. We just put a new water heater in.
Yeah.
Pipes burst just last week from the weather.
We're excited to be here.
But yeah. How long did the bidding process take overall from the time you submitted to the time it was finalized?
I feel like it was 3 weeks of back and forth.
Less than a month then.
Mm-hmm. Things were
it wasn't something like you put a bid in and then they had to go to some arbitration or something and figure out how to sell it or anything else. It was a bid process and there were other bidders and so it was finalized.
Yeah, that's how it went. I think there were two bidders. We were one that planned to live on the home and then two people that were attempting to do something different, and the family, the person who lived here passed, and so the family wanted someone to live in the home and so they chose us. But we were told that all the offers were identical. Like, we had to match the other offers in order to purchase a home.
Okay. I have no further questions. John, you said?
No, I don't have any other questions.
No, I don't have any questions on it.
Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is the January 24th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 122 for property ID 986, 029465. The property address, this is a bare land parcel. The property is owned by Charles Ross and Catherine Ross. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Stefan Lopez, Catherine Ross, and Ryan Ross here for the appellant. If you do want to speak, please raise your right hand to be sworn in now.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
I assume Catherine and
Ryan
will not be speaking?
Probably not. Unless if something pops up and they need to, can you swear them in a minute?
Yeah.
I'll just do it now. You can go ahead. You can both be sworn in, I suppose, if you need to.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Hey, just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Stefan Lopez on behalf of the trustees. The appeal concerns the property ID, which is a non-buildable lot. Property ID is 986-029-465. And that's a 2.5-acre parcel. And the county has combined it with another 2.5-acre parcel that the Ross residence is located on, and they've combined that to create what they call the effective acres group. The petition does not concern the 2.5 acres that the residence is on. It's actually the other 2.5 acres, which has its own separate property tax ID. And it's that property that's of concern today, and that's what prompted this petition in the first place. The property at issue, which I called a non-buildable lot, that was in my written submission, and there's, it's without question that 2.5 acres is non-buildable. There's a county, an email from the county that I had submitted that contains that information. So for purposes of today's hearing, I presented some additional evidence supporting a different value than the assessor's office, and I've got 3 points to make in the hearing today. So point number one is comparable neighboring land values. On this street, there's actually several neighboring properties that are comprised of 5-acre parcels. Each of those has its own value, a value for the land specifically that the county has assessed. The Kavanaughs, the Grossmans, the Gates, the Wilsons, the Havalas, they all have 5-acre parcels. Each one of those has a land value significantly lower than the Ross EAG. And the difference is actually between $29,552 and $71,000. Meaning, when you compare the Ross EAG to these next door neighbors, literally next door neighbors to them, the assessor's value is significantly higher, for the Ross EAG as compared to these neighboring properties.
Let me just interrupt for one moment. Yep. The use of assessed values is not permitted under our charter to use as comparables for your property.
Yep, and I'm getting there. I understand that, and I think it helps in kind of setting up the next 2 points, which is what's comparables, because I suspect that the county is looking to compare apples to apples, right? Not apples to oranges. So that's an important consideration. So when you look at these now these neighboring properties are all different. They're different size properties. I mean, the houses on the properties are all very different. But what the county does, and this gets to point two, what the county does is, or the assessor does, it compares the Ross EAG to 3 other properties. And I understand that you're going off of the valuation of these properties, but the comps that the assessor's office uses are very dissimilar from the Ross EAG. And the most notable difference actually comes from the fact that one of these properties, comp 1 on 255th Circle, is actually on the East Fork of the Lewis River. It's riverfront property. Comp number 2 on 98th Place has trail access to the East Fork of the Lewis River. The Ross property, the Ross EAG, is not riverfront, and it's not river access property. It actually sits atop a very steep bluff with zero access to the river. So the assessor's comps uses very dissimilar riverfront property, substantially different, not good comparisons to use to value the Ross EAG. And then, Daniel, getting to your argument of, or your point about using assessed values, that gets me to my third point, and it's comparable land sales. Of course, there's land assessed values associated with those, which I put in my email. But what I do is I analyze, and I've submitted a property comp list to you as evidence, outlining the values of 9 different properties in the county. And what we see from these different properties are their sales price and when they sold. I've got 2021 through 2023 sale dates. And what we see are an average sales price of $63,424 per acre. Okay. Interestingly enough, the assessor's assessed value is $45,000 per acre. Now, these are properties that are land-only sales, and they're buildable. You can put a house on them. You cannot put a house on the 2.5-acre parcel that's at issue in this petition. So while the true sales and the assessed values of these properties have a value significantly lower than what the county is assessing the subject property at, that's assuming that the non-buildable lot is not buildable. So even if we use those numbers from those comps, which are significantly lower than the price, the assessed value per acre of the non-buildable lot, they're still have tremendously greater value in that these subject 9 properties are buildable. So a few numbers just to kind of orient you. If you, the assessor has assessed the subject non-buildable parcel at a value of approximately $79,936 per acre. That's the assessed value, and they come up with a total value of $199,000 and change. These comparable properties have an average value of $63,000 per acre sales price, or an assessed value by the county of $45,858. Now, the point of this is that the county is valuing the non-buildable lot significantly higher than even these properties. And they're valuing the price per acre significantly higher than what these even have sold for. Actual sales. And the fact that the subject property that we're talking about here is non-buildable means that technically the non-buildable lot would actually have a much lower value than what these are even selling for and what the county has assessed them at. So I come up with a value that's actually closer to $22,929 based on an average assessed value or value, sales value of $9,171 because the value of the non-buildable lot is not the same as what these sales are. These nine comparable properties can be built on. The subject property cannot. And so the value is going to be less. So the county has said in its response, the assessor's response to the Board of Equalization is that, well, we've created an effective acre group and we've combined the two properties, the two 2.5 acres, the one with the house and the one that's non-buildable, and we then discount it as a whole. And that's value to you, owners. But by overvaluing the non-buildable lot, it's erasing that discount. That discount goes away because the value is $199,840. That's what the assessor has assessed it at. Really, the value is probably closer to $23,000. So the difference is actually quite significant. And although the logic of the effective acres group is good and it's appreciated, there's value to the owners when that happens. In this case, it's actually not supported and it does a disservice to the owners because of the value placed on the non-buildable property. $199,000 is way, way, way outside of the norm. And it's drastically different than comparable land-only sales as well. Also, when you look at apples to apples, look at the neighbors. They don't value them anywhere close to what the Ross EAG is being valued at either. So that's the point of the petition. When we just look at the numbers, that's what prompted this in the first place, was it doesn't seem like it makes any sense in terms of the value given. It uses wrong data as far as the comps. And when you look at land-only sales, this non-buildable lot should not be valued comparably. So that's what we have for you today, and I appreciate your time.
Okay. If I look at the properties you have in there, you have two properties that have some development on it. The one property has $1,187,000 sales or assessed value, but there's no. It looks like the land was separate. Was purchased in 21.
Which one are you looking at?
The one that has a house on it now that's valued at $1,187,187. The rest of them are all bare land. Is that correct?
Are you talking about the nine parcels that I've identified in the comparable land-only sales, or are you referring to the actual Ross property? I'm sorry, I'm just not following.
Well, I'm looking at one of the ones that you provided a sheet from the assessor's office, number 233-28-3000.
This is property identification sheet. Is that the one you're looking at, Dan, one of those?
Yes. In my packet, it's the second one of those two.
Yes, I'm with you. Yep.
That is the only one that has a house on it. The rest of them all show land only. Is that correct?
Yes. And I think
Are those developed properties? In other words, are there streets and sewer, water, and everything else to those properties, or are they just bare land out in the middle of the
wilderness? Well, it's a combination, actually. When I did the research, what I found was that some of them were like these future to be built, where there are utilities, streets kind of going in. There's some kind of current pictures that show things like that. Some of them are just properties like we have here in Clark County, just out in the woods, right? There's nothing going to them, which is actually what this non-buildable lot that we're talking about here today is more similar to. There's no it going down to the property. Well, we're on wells and septic, so there's not like that type of utility going in here anyway. We only have electricity that runs through and phone and internet, but not onto this property per se. And I don't know that utilities would be run to it anyway, given that it's non-buildable. But yes, the other land-only sales that I was looking at, yes, you're correct. That those are, there's no properties, there's no structures built on them, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, but you don't know which ones have utilities and which ones have streets and all that.
True. I mean, going off of memories, I think a lot of them don't.
Okay, I have no further questions.
I don't have any further questions.
Okay. No, I don't have any questions either.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
I think we have the information. Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. No. Nope. I think that covers it. I appreciate the four of you taking the time to hear our case here and take it under consideration. We look forward to hearing from you in about 30 days.
Yes, we'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Close the hearing.